Today on More to Life, strong families. We're going to help you find ways to have a healthier, happier, holier family life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, strong families. We're heading into the weekend thinking about taking this time this weekend to address those things that are getting in the way of you having the family life that you'd like to have. What are those challenges, difficulties, problems, missed connections that are stopping you from feeling as close to the people around you in your family as you'd like to feel? We want to help you overcome those obstacles and let God's grace flow through your household. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, maybe when you heard Greg say, we're taking the time, you thought, what time? How do I have time?
How can I
do this? The biggest hurdle to my family life is getting time. Because I don't know about the rest of you, but it's insane how much time it just goes at the speed of light, is taken up by a million kid activities, a million work activities, a thousand things you are committed to do for different committees and volunteer things in church, and you look up and you're like, how much time did we get as a family? Do I even know my kids and who they're talking to and what they're going through? Have I had any time with my spouse? Maybe Valentine's Day last night kind of left you shaking your head, like, this missed the mark a little bit because I don't even know this person anymore. Or maybe you're doing okay in your family as you have it, but it's other members of your family, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, your siblings, the people who are on the periphery of your life but are nosing themselves into how you raise your kids, how your marriage is going, and they're causing difficulties and trip-ups in your family life. You're thinking, how do I do this? How do I have my family and have a smooth, peaceful relationship with my extended family or my spouse's extended family? Family is a blessing, but it can also be very, very complicated. And sometimes you need some fresh eyes and some fresh skills, and that's what we're here to give you today on More to Life. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
We're talking about strong families today. How to remove those challenges, obstacles, difficulties that get in the way of the healthier, happier, holier family life that you'd like to have. Tell us, what are those particular problems that you keep running into in your family? Certain challenges, disagreements, struggles, and other problems that just make it hard to be the family that you want to be. 877-573-7825. Looking at this whole question of creating strong families through the lens of the theology of the body, we're reminded that a strong family life is really the foundation of a civilization of love. You know, Pope St. John Paul the Great used to talk about, and talks about in the theology of the body, that the Christian mission is to really create a civilization of love. And having strong marriage and family lives is really an essential part of that. Working to have a strong family life is actually a ministry in the eyes of the church. You know, we have a tendency to think of ministry as the churchy stuff we do at church, right?
Sure.
But it's not that. Ministry is any activity that communicates the love of God for another person. And that's what family life is meant to do. You know, without that foundation of strong family life, the Christian mission of building a civilization of love is kind of doomed to collapse, honestly. When we work to create a strong sense of team spirit in our homes, by making time to work and play and talk and pray together regularly, we help each other practice and develop all the virtues that then let us go out into the world and create a peaceful, joyful, generous, godly society. You know, creating a strong family team, in many ways, is the most important ministry married people can engage in, because, as Pope John Paul put it, as the family goes, so goes the world. So let's talk about those problems or challenges or difficulties that are making it hard to have the family life you'd like to have. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And by the way, while we're talking about this, I'd like to ask your help with a project that we're working on. I've mentioned this before, but if you go to cflsymposium.org, that's cflsymposium.org, that's Catholic Family Life Symposium, we are hosting, along with the OSV Institute, Holy Cross Family Ministries, and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at Notre Dame, a family symposium in July that is a gathering of about 30 theologians, social scientists, pastoral ministry people, to really look at the question of what would it take to renew Catholic family life, to really help Catholic families live the Catholic difference in every aspect of their life and experience Jesus Christ as an important and kind of tangible member of their households, right? Well, we want your insights on the four important questions we're looking at. And there's a survey on the website that we'd love to have your input on. So if you would take just a few minutes to go to cflsymposium.org and fill out the survey there. All we want, we're not collecting data, we're not sharing any information.
You're not going to get hit up with a million different ads. It's not. There's no connection to any of that. It's
no, just this is all just because we want
to
know.
Need to serve you.
We just want to know your thoughts about these four questions. Specifically, number one, how are Catholic families called to be different from other families, in your opinion? You know, how would you describe how our Catholic faith is supposed to somehow impact the way we live as Catholic families and make us different in some way? Number two, what do you think a Catholic family spirituality looks like in practice? Thirdly, you know, what do you think it would take for parents and kids to do a better job of being intentional disciples in the home, and what it would take for parents to do a better job of raising the next generation of faithful Catholic adults? And then finally, what can we do as a church to empower families to be those outposts of evangelization and positive social change that families are really called to be? So we'd love to get your insights on what you're doing, what you think. So come on over to cflsymposium.org and share your thoughts as we talk about family life today on More to Life. Of course, if you're struggling in any way, we're here for you at 877-573-7825. What problems, challenges, or difficulties are making it tough for you to have the family life that you'd like to have? 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for loving us and calling us into your family. We thank you for giving us the love that comes from your heart that enables us, your children, to create strong families here that can be the foundation of the civilization of love your servant Pope St. John Paul the Great called us all to build together in your name. But Lord, because we're all broken, sinful people, and the world is not what it's meant to be, it's often hard for us to know how to create those kinds of families that can be rooted in your love and bear witness to your love in the world. So many problems or challenges, difficulties, disagreements, struggles get in the way and make it hard for us to even see what that vision would be, much less live it out. And so, Lord, we bring our families to you today. And we ask you to give us the grace we need to fix what's broken, to heal what is hurting, and to create strong bonds that can serve as the basis, the foundation of that civilization of love that we are all called to create as your sons and daughters. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Strong Families. We are helping you find ways to have a healthier, happier, holier family life. And whether you're struggling with problems or just want to take your family life to the next level, we are here for you today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. What problems, challenges, or difficulties are making it tough for you to have the family life, either the, you know, sort of nuclear family life or the extended family life that you'd like to have? Let's talk it out together and find some faithful, effective answers to help you move forward.
Let's talk now with our first caller to More to Life for the day, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Hello there, listener on line two. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Yes, is this, am I on the air now?
You are.
What's your question for us?
Well, I don't know. The screener, I was telling him, having trouble with seeing our grandkids, our younger ones, because of our ex-daughter-in-law, and defying court visitation orders and things like that, to where it would require having police, I guess, involved or constable or something. Missing, you know, we got presents for the kids. Yeah, we just missed Valentine's Day for them.
I have to ask you, who is defying the court order here? I missed that. I'm sorry. You broke up a bit.
Apparently, our ex-daughter-in-law.
Okay.
And, you know, they've been to several rounds of court over the last several years. And
the daughter-in-law and your son, is that correct?
My son, yeah.
Okay.
And the crowning, we've had uncomfortable visitations leading up to the point where it got really out of control. Her 16-year-old son, then 16-year-old, almost a year ago, elected, he wanted to see his dad. And she didn't want that to happen. And she was supposed to meet them halfway. He lived several hundred miles away. She was supposed to meet him halfway, but decided not to. In such too late a time for him to make up the difference to be there at the appointed time, so he asked our help, his parents, who live much closer, and so we obliged, and she tried to tell us that, well, if we do that, we will never see the other two of his. Well, he has actually an adopted older son, but the other two that are his, younger than this first one. And,
so there's a lot going on here. Let me just ask you, what could we help you with today? What's the question?
Well, that's a good question. I keep trying to reach out. I keep trying forgiveness. And I mean, I was like, she's the kind of person, there's nothing that she's ever done that needs forgiveness, at least in the last several years like this. And, you know, I'm sure I can probably think of something to ask forgiveness for. You know, presuming that I'm a bad guy, it's each of us see evil in the other, I guess. And, you know, she's not returning text messages. Apparently she's intercepting and or controlling her kids' ability to communicate with us. It seems to be orchestrated, like they don't answer or else they, you know, they're...
So you're wondering, how can you have a better relationship with your grandkids in spite of the fact that your former daughter-in-law is getting in the way?
Whether we go to school or what? I mean, the last time we saw them was at a school concert, which is a public venue kind of thing.
Right.
And,
The problem is, and this is a very common problem, and where grandparents really lose out big when their kids divorce, because you don't have any rights, you know, per se, and any contact you would have with your grandkids depends on the good graces of your sort of, you know, your ex daughter-in-law and what your husband, what your son can work out through the courts, right? And so, really, I think doing an end run around the mom is just going to make things worse for everybody. The only thing you can really do is work with your son to get to see what he can do.
And he's brokenhearted about all this. He's tried. He feels like anything he can do in terms of the law at this point, he has the court order, but
why is he so he? And I understand that people have to live where they work. I get that. But you said that he's several hundred miles away. That's got to make it even more difficult for him to have any kind of relationship with his kids, though.
Yes.
What could be done about that?
One of his kids now live with him, a 17-year-old son. And then new wife, his present wife, has two of her kids, and they live with him. So he has one, in fact, is that a new family or half of his full family, however you look at it. And so they're, so to speak, keeping him busy. He has, of course, his job, his obligations for support of the family, supporting basically two families.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, you know, I guess I have issues when you get divorced, your kids are still your kids, right? I mean, you know, and if there's any way for you to be around them, you kind of have an obligation to be there. It's not, well, I've moved on now, you know. So I mean, I get that's not what you're trying to say, but there is a certain sense that, well, you know, he's busy with his new life. Like, well, yeah, but he really needs to find a way to be there for his kids, right? So that's number one. You need to be putting pressure on your son to really step up as much as he can to be there for, you know, for the kids that are left behind. Now, I understand that he has the 17-year-old living with him right now, and that's a good thing. So the only two things you as a grandparent can do are continue to work with your son through the courts and through your relationship with him to get as much time with your grandkids as you can work out. As far as approaching the ex-daughter-in-law, you know, don't make it about your relationship with her. Make it about the well-being of the kids, and just say to her, look, you know, I know we don't get along. I know you don't like us. I know that we've hurt you in some way. You feel really, upset with us. What can we do to work through that enough to be able to see the kids in some way that would you be comfortable with? Where, you know, what would it take from you? And be humble enough to jump through whatever hoop she puts in front of you. I mean, really, if you want to have a relationship with the kids, you're going to have to do that with her. You can't make it about, oh, you know, this is going to be fair and we're going to work through our stuff. It has to be about, you know, what can we do to see the kids? And what would it take to satisfy her enough to get some kind of contact with them? If that's what you want to have happen, that's what it's going to take. I wish I had better answers for you. Like I said, when kids divorce, grandparents really lose out. But those are the two things that you should be focusing your energy on. Definitely not trying to heal the relationship with your ex-daughter-in-law. That's never going to happen, in this case anyway. But there's still some hope there. Thank you for the call. 877-573-7825. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Rachel Watkins of the Little Flowers Girls Club. She's going to be sharing with us some really cool ideas for how you can create a stronger family life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Do you know that simple maintenance on your furnace can extend the life of it? Hi, I'm Ron Garmo from Running Right Heating and Cooling. Replacing a dirty filter can eliminate more than 50% of all house calls and save you money. With a simple service agreement, we can come out twice a year and clean and check your furnace and AC, which could prevent bigger problems. Call today at 248-884-1704 or go to Running Right Heating and Cooling on Facebook. We are working to keep your systems running right.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about creating strong families. We want to help you find ways to have a healthier, happier, holier family life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk through those problems, challenges, difficulties, disagreements that are making it hard for you to have the family life you'd like to create. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11, is here with us to talk about, well, five tips for creating stronger families. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa. Glad to be here.
So glad to have you with us. I have to say, a lot of people would say, wow, the Watkins have 11 kids. They must just have a strong family, because with that many, they're a tour de force. But you really have to make sure that whether you have one child or 90 children, that there's a plan in place, or no strength can really come about in a family, can it? So what kind of plan do we need to have?
Thank you for saying that. Make the plan. That's the most important thing that parents don't do. They just kind of float along and think it's going to happen organically. But we, Matt and I, have a plan. And number one on our plan is that we are a prayerful family. It's going to look different for every family. There are times we do the family rosary, especially during May and October. Sometimes it's just a decade. But we pray together as a couple and as a family some way every day. The next thing that's really important for the Watkins family is playing together, is having fun in each other's company. I take Jesus' promise, I have come to bring you joy and bring it to the fullest, quite seriously. So we have a good time together. Sometimes it's outside in a hike, mostly for Matthew and I sit on the side of the road, but board games, movie night. We read the same books together sometimes. We like to have fun together and laugh together. Matt and I keep our promises to our kids.
I want to back up for one more second, Rachel, before you go on to this idea of keeping promises, because I think some of our listeners to Catholic Radio are kind of going, wait a minute, what? I was with you with the prayer, but you're saying to have a strong family, we have to play together? Isn't just that sort of the parsley on the plate? But you're saying this is really important. So hit this for one second on why it's important before you go on to your next point.
I think that when we are having fun with each other, you're making those memories that last forever with your children, that they realize that a family was designed for love, and with love should come laughter. But if we're harsh with our children, if we're overly burdensome with the rules and the regulations, they can have that view of God the Father. And God the Father is a loving, generous, kind God. We want to prepare our kids for a happy heaven by trying to make a happy home. If that makes sense.
Oh, I love that.
But for us, Matt and I, we want our kids to find laughter here so they'll go out and find it out in the world as well. But Matt and I, we keep our promises. We show love in front of our children to the point of embarrassing them. We are a kissing marriage, but we hold hands. We are affectionate towards our children. We make sure that they are loved, you know, hugging and assuring them of our constant support. But then the really important part is we revisit this list regularly. With the change of the seasons, with changes of liturgical seasons, we're coming into Lent soon. The Watkinses will look at how will this look like as we try to have a great Lent together. Because Matt and I, with all of these kids, and as they get older and college schedules change and my health and Matthew's commute to D.C., we've got to tweak it regularly. And when it is working, we're celebrating, going, yay,
well,
we're doing it
right. Let me ask you a question here, because, you know, as I'm listening to you, one thing that's really standing out to me is that all this stuff is very much not just a Rachel Watkins project. That this is,
no.
You know, this is not just mom sitting around thinking, you know, what are we going to do for Lent? This is you sitting down with Matthew and the kids and saying, together, what do we need to do as a family to draw close? And I think that's a really important point to hit, that this has to be a family project. This just can't be something that mom comes up with and, you know, imposes on everybody. This is really the family being intentional about the relationship and about living their faith and about the connection that they've got and what it takes to maintain all those things.
Well, my kids are not perfect, but Matt and I are open to our kids' suggestions and hopes. Our kids have tweaked our family prayer at night that we do. We've learned new prayers because our kids have come across them. Or our kids have said, you know, I don't know this prayer. Can we learn it together? We've added the Memorare, for example, recently. All those things, and the kids are the ones who are suggesting activities for us to do. They certainly want to have fun with us and are regularly will abandon their chores and schoolwork to go read a good book together. But our kids are a part of what makes us a family, because before it was just Matt and I. Now it's all of us together, and we want to be that incredible family. You know, Matt and I are Mr. and Mrs. Incredible. I'm stretched too far, and he's a little overweight. But we have a lot of fun together.
God bless you guys. Well, thanks so much for sharing those tips with us today. Really, really good stuff. And folks that would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, you can go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about Little Flowers Girls Club. Rachel Watkins, thanks for being here.
God bless, guys.
And we are continuing to talk with you about how you can celebrate a stronger, healthier, happier, and holier family life. If there's something getting in the way of you living the family life that you'd like to have, let's talk it out together and find faithful ways to address those challenging problems. Whether you want to resolve an issue in your nuclear or extended family, or you just want to take your family life to the next level and help you guys connect more around your faith, connect more in general, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back in just a couple minutes. Stick around.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Well, the next Christ is the Answer program, Father John Ricardo presents a pair of men's conference talks, meeting him for the first time and all over again, and a fireside chat with the Lord. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
This is Lisa Popchak. God wants us to have a great marriage. It may be hard to believe that. After all, a great marriage only benefits my spouse and me, right? Wrong. God truly does want you to have a great marriage because your marriage is not just about you. God wants to change the world through your marriage. Marriage is a vocation, a ministry, a way that we live out God's grace in the world. He blesses others and calls them to Him through marriages. When you actively work on having the best marriage and family life possible, you give God the opportunity to tell the world that love that is freely given, total, faithful, and fruitful is actually possible. And it's a path to true joy. Your witness to love can and will change the world. For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today on More to Life, strong families. We're talking about what it takes to have a healthier, happier, holier family life. Would you like your family to get along better, to do more to share your faith, to overcome certain disagreements, challenges, or struggles that really are stopping you from feeling as close to each other as you'd like to feel? Well, we want to help you find faithful answers to all those challenging questions. Give us a call. Let's talk through those problems or difficulties that are making it hard for you to have the family life you'd like to have. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with our next listener to EWTN Radio who's listening in Ohio.
Hello, caller. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thanks. It's complicated, like a lot of things are that people call you. So recently found out that my 16-year-old son has been vaping marijuana. As far as I know, it's been, he calls it weekending, which seems to be something that lots of kids are doing. It's rampant. He doesn't see that it's harmful. What we've done so far is, talk to him about it, confiscated what I found, printed out a lot of material, had him read about it, we had a discussion about him, had him write a report about it. He doesn't buy it. He really feels like, I'm going to be who I'm going to be, and, in the end, it's my choice. And to a certain degree, we just don't know what to do going forward. So, I'm trying to, check his stories. I've caught him lying. I don't know that it's always been related to that. It's just
tell me a little more about your son, just so I have a better sense of who he's. So what does he do other than when he's not in school? What kind of things is he passionate about, involved in? Is there anything?
He really loves sports. He played for his school last year, but he just does like a recreational league. So he does like sports.
Is he part of a team now, or he just goes
yes,
when he wants
yes.
to?
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. A recreational team. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that is because a lot of times kids tend to get into drugs and alcohol because there aren't a lot of passions, or they don't feel confident in their ability to set and meet goals, and so this is a way of actually kind of numbing out when they don't feel competent and confident in their life. So
and there are times, of course, where you as a mom can assess this, where it's actually the sports team who is sort of pushing this idea of this is the way we relax after a hard practice. This is what we do together. So assessing, is it because he doesn't feel, as Greg is saying, competent in certain areas of his life, so he's sort of self-medicating, or is it coming from this peer group?
I think it's very pervasive in the culture. Even, quote, good kids, this is just, it's so normalized. In the school,
it's not. I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, there are subcultures in schools where kids do drugs. That's always been the case, and that's true. But I think you gotta worry about your kid, right? So right. We're asking you, how competent does he feel?
Fun.
How confident is he in that he's setting? You see him setting goals and meeting those goals and achieving them, or do you see him kind of pulling back?
I guess pulling back, I mean, his mm-hmm. reasons, because I told my husband, I think we need to find out why is he doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, my son says, because it's fun. It's just a fun thing to do.
And he doesn't have anything else.
I said, well, there's other fun things to do, but my sense is it, there is, not everyone does do that. And he, the problem is how to go forward with, I don't know if you think you need to stay there and figure that out, but in the meantime, I want to go out. He's going to go to his buddy's house, or he's going to sleep over here, or this.
Why are you letting him?
So it's becoming a cat and mouse game.
Can I ask you why are you letting him?
Well, okay, this is the problem. My sense is that he should be severely limited and curtailed, but at mm-hmm. what point does he build up his trust? Like, how do you negotiate that in the real world? Like, how does it... I can't ground him forever.
Well, you can ground him until he's demonstrating the kind of responsibility that you need to see from him. Look, so here's...
And not just responsibility, if I could jump in on that. You can ground him until you and your husband have built up enough rapport with him that he cares more about losing face with you than with his peer group. That he has more connection with you and has more fun with you and has more invested in your relationship than he does with, I have nothing else to do, and this gets my mind off of my nothing else to do, and makes me feel a little bit better. Grounding him, well, I think in this case with a 16-year-old, is going to have to be very intense. It's going to be no car keys, no activities, no anything, but we work on our relationship. The flip side of that intensity has to be, we're losing you, hon. You don't feel good about yourself. You don't really care what we think, and we're not going to let that happen because we love you. And so your grounding means us working on our relationship, mom, dad, son.
I want to clarify one thing, though. Grounding a kid does not mean what most parents think it means.
Very clearly.
Most parents think grounding means I'm just going to take away certain privileges and not let them out of the house for a certain period of time. And once that period of time is up, then they get to go back out again.
Right. That's all it does is get him to stew and can't wait to get back to that life and do it even worse because he's mad at you.
Grounding that we were talking about, it is not just spending time in the family jail. It's grounding him in your relationship. In other words, you can't let him out on the weekends until you're seeing that he's investing in a healthier life. So what kinds of activities is he going to be involved in that would require him to be responsible? What kind of a plan does he have for setting goals that are meaningful to him and achieving those goals? Does he get a job? I mean, he's old enough to have a job outside the... what kind of things do you guys do as a family to connect around working, playing, talking, and praying together? Because a lot of times, kids get involved in drugs and alcohol because they don't have strong connections with families that do a lot of things together. We kind of assume that family life just happens, you know, in the time that we are bussing our kids back and forth to this activity, or it just sort of happens. But you absolutely can ground him for as long as you absolutely need to ground him for. As long
again,
as you're working on the relationship.
Not just in anger, not just locking him in a room or the house, but working intensely on becoming a family again.
Husband needs to be going out with him at least every week to, you know, say breakfast or something, and have that time with him where you guys can build that connection. There needs to be a real emphasis on daily family prayer, you know, that's giving him more of a sense of direction. You need to be talking with him about creating a mission, like we discuss in the adolescent chapter in Parenting with Grace, where we talk about, you know, what are the qualities he wants to be known for, and what are the choices that he needs to make to live up to those qualities. And also, I think, you know, you got a kid who may very well be depressed. You're seeing, you know, you said that he was used to participating more regularly in sports, and now he's just kind of dropped out of that and is doing this recreational team. I think that, you know, you got a kid who's probably flirting with some depression there, and you guys need to be in some family therapy.
And again, let's
not
underline
just taking him
that
to counseling. That's you all going together to figure out how you can get through this together and support him in a healthier life.
And I want to underline family therapy and skill-based therapy so that he can get the skills to deal with what his thoughts are doing to his life. If you walk into a counselor's office and they say, well, we'll start with an antidepressant, no. He's already self-medicating. All that's going to do is revalidate that. You want to deal with a therapist who's going to help you as a family, help your son begin to become a happy, healthy, wholly responsible adult, not somebody who just relies on one chemical or another to make all the negative feelings go away.
The fact is, we're very limited as to how much we can tell you in a short call, but we've given you some basic ideas here. I want you to get in touch with a good local family therapist, either by reaching out to your diocesan Catholic Charities office for a referral, or your pastor, your physician. But you definitely need to get that happening. Yesterday, I want you to ground him and say, look, until I can see you being more responsible. And when you said, well, how can we trust him? But because you see that he's being open with you. You see that he's doing chores around the house without you having to drag him through it. You see that he's actively participating in the family activities that you're doing, and he's not fighting you on it. You see that he's setting goals and getting excited about those things. When you see those things, then you know that he's healthy enough and you can trust him to go back out again. But until then, you just letting them out there to hang out with these guys who are dragging them, into drugs. That's just foolish, right? So you need to claim your power as a parent here and set those limits, and then work on the relationship stuff that we're talking about that we describe in Parenting with Grace. So those are three things that you need to follow up with. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about creating strong families and overcoming the challenges you're experiencing in your home to having that healthier, happier, holier family life that you'd like to be living. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue in just a few minutes.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Indulge before Lent and make a joyful noise about it. On March 2nd, Spiritus Sanctus Academy is celebrating its annual benefit gala at Fox Hills Country Club in Plymouth. This event is packed with delights, games, dinner, live entertainment, and amazing live auction items, including dinner with WDEO's own Al and Sally Cresta. Besides helping meet the school's financial obligations, you will aid in making scholarships accessible to those in need. Go to SpiritusSanctus.org. That's SpiritusSanctus.org.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Gaylord Diocesan Watch is a newly launched organization in Gaylord, Michigan that's working to bring justice for victims of priestly sexual abuse and misconduct. They're currently dealing with a case where a young priest has accused a fellow clergyman of unwanted physical contact and harassment. We're going to talk to one of the founders, Dr. Richard Brenz.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you about the challenges that are part of creating a strong family life. Would you like to get along better, live your faith out more strongly in your home, overcome certain challenges that are stopping you from feeling as close to your husband, your wife, your kids, or your extended family as you'd like? Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to the radio program today, and I'm thinking, you know, should I call? There's something that's really, really bothering me, and that is, for the last maybe 6 to 9 months, my husband has been having night terrors, where he doesn't remember anything unless I talk to him during during the event. But he wakes up and he's screaming and he's kicking and he's hitting and you know, at one point he was hitting me, but it wasn't like a forceful hit. It was like you're dreaming and you think you're hitting hard and you're just barely, you know. But because of all of this, we decided that he should sleep in another room because he was not only doing this, but he was waking me up all the time. And I have a very difficult time sleeping anyway.
Okay.
But it seems like since this all happened, you know, we have, I told him, you know, please tell your doctor and see what you can do about this. And his doctor said that she thought it was the medication, one of the medications he was taking. So she started to wean him off of that, and it didn't get any better.
What was he taking?
It was venlafaxine. It was for social anxiety or depression.
Okay.
And Kathy, can I ask you, does he have any kind of post-traumatic stress? Was there some kind of trauma in his life history that might be coming up now through the walls coming down because of the medication? Or is there anything that's being triggered that you know of?
I'm thinking that he had a really good childhood, except for his dad was pretty abusive, but he was also...
Exact opposite of a good childhood.
Yeah.
The minute
say dad was abusive, it negates any kind of good childhood.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to be clear about that. Yeah.
No. What I meant by that was he was verbally abusive to his mother.
Okay. And, still pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I get you. So he's on medication for depression. Is he receiving therapy for that as well, depression and anxiety?
He is not right now.
Okay. He really needs to be. What you're describing is a sleep disorder called REM sleep behavior disorder, where normally what happens is, when we sleep, there's a part of the brain that paralyzes us so that we can't act out what we're dreaming about. It's the reticular activating system, the RAS. It paralyzes us so that we don't move when we dream. When there's something, whether it could be a medication problem, it could be a neurological problem, but when something affects that part of the brain's ability to keep us kind of paralyzed while we're sleeping, then we start acting out our dreams, and that's what your husband is doing. Now, like I said, there could be multiple causes for that, so talking about it with the doctor is the first step. He said that they're beginning to look at medication. The common recommendations for that medically, melatonin can actually be useful. Again, don't do any of this without talking to your doctor.
Especially if he's on medication, do not mix melatonin with an antidepressant without a consult with your doctor.
A prescription medication that's often used for this disorder is Klonopin, clonazepam, which is an anti-anxiety medication. So those are possibilities. But, if you're saying that this is more of a recent thing, and he's been on this medication for quite some time, he's been dealing with depression and social anxiety for quite some time, I think he's also going to benefit from some cognitive behavior therapy as well, because even though that doesn't directly affect his the way he behaves when he's sleeping, it does help him learn how to take down his overall stress level so his sleep will be more restful.
Sure, because we all know, night terrors are a different animal than regular nightmares. I am fully aware of that. But even with regular nightmares, we all know that we're working out, our brain is trying to work out our own stress of whatever life is throwing at us, often during our sleep, either prohibiting us from sleep or causing our sleep to be disturbed by nightmares. In extreme cases, with other physical ingredients in the mix, you can get a night terror situation. So you want him to be in good talk therapy where he can begin to work through some of this. If past stresses are triggering some of this, he needs to be able to start sorting that and feeling in control of it.
And there's a lot of research, actually, that shows that cognitive behavior therapy is terrifically effective for managing sleep disorders of all kinds. You wouldn't necessarily think that would be the case, again, because, well, gosh, how can the way I think affect, me in the middle of my dreaming? Well, because it helps to take down the level of stress overall and helps you manage your stress more effectively in general so that your sleep is more restful.
Well, and you're reprogramming your brain. So even your sleeping brain is being healed and reprogrammed. So that's number one. Please really work with him and his doctor to get him into good cognitive behavioral therapy. That's number one. Number two, let's deal with the fact that you're feeling like married singles. You're sleeping in different rooms, and it's having an effect on your marital relationship. I'd like you to reframe this and say, wow, you know, this is horrible that my husband's going through this, and we need to do the things that Greg and Lisa just said we have to do in order to heal that part of his life. But while we're going through that, let's take this as an opportunity to see that just sleeping next to somebody every night and having a convenience of, well, it's easy to spend time together since we're in the same bed, is not really having a marriage. Let's look at this as an invitation to say, where have we gotten lazy? Where are we having really good dates with one another, where we're playing games and we're doing activities and we're drawing our relationship closer together? If we want to be together as a married couple should be, can we make dates for that and bring the romance back into our relationship?
One thing that would be really important in this regard is have a nightly ritual where you just, you know, go to bed together for at least 20 minutes, half an hour, not for necessarily for sex, but just to be physically close to each other, to cuddle together, to pray together, to hang out with each other. Then you want to, if you have to sleep separately because of this disorder that he's dealing with, well, then fine, go to the other room after that. And then when you wake up, you know, set your alarm 15 minutes early or 20 minutes early so you can go in and cuddle together in the morning as well. You're getting that time together, being intentional about managing that time instead of just, oh, well, I guess we have to sleep separately and then we just go to bed on our own.
And then we rush out the door and we never see each other and never have any contact with each other. As disturbing as this is, and I think you will find successful results if you follow, you know, the things we've led to in the beginning of the call, I'd like you to look at this as God kind of tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I could give you some really wonderful, intentional married years together, but you have to engage in that.
All right, so just to recap, three things. Again, medically, melatonin, low-dose clonopin can be helpful, but don't do anything without talking to your doctor first in that regard. Secondly, CBT can really be very helpful. And then thirdly, be intentional about that marital connection by creating a ritual where nightly, you know, you get together for 20 minutes just to hang out together and be together, be close to each other, cuddle with each other, and then, you know, set your clocks a little bit early to get together in the mornings as well every day, just to you know, have that physical connection of some kind. It doesn't always have to be sexual, but, you know, just to be close to each other and have that closeness that you're missing out on since you've been sleeping separately. Thanks for the call. We only have a couple minutes, but I think we can handle line four. Let's go to our caller listening in Texas on Guadalupe Radio. Hey, listener, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hello.
Hi, yes. What's your question for us?
My question is, I had a two-part, but I'm going to go with the second part. The main question is, how do I get my husband to understand the importance of attending Mass during Holy Week?
So here's a question for you. How have you gotten your husband to ever understand anything else that's important to you?
We have daily dialogue because of Retrovi training.
Good.
And I try to do my little evangelization in a way that comes from the
heart.
But
what I'm saying is, like, not a religious thing, like any other topic that was more important to you than to him, how would you get him to come on board with that?
I'd sit down with him and tell him that it's important for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for me spiritually, and to show the children, because of their religious ed, that this is what we need to do as a family.
Okay, that you said you've done that in the past with other things, and he's come along with that then?
Yes, he has come along with it, yes.
So, and have you tried to do that then with Mass and Holy Week? Had that
definitely
same conversation?
Mass. Yes, he attends Mass with us.
Okay,
and,
great.
But he's telling me, he told me during a time we were dialoguing that, and I know that we were trained that those are feelings, they're neither right nor wrong, but I wanted to interject when he told me that he felt a little burned out when we all of a sudden have to attend more, such as during holy days of obligation.
Sure. Well, look, I want
to...
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's okay, and you can certainly understand that, especially when he's having a hard time relating to it on a personal level. I think, you know, one, look, I think you have to appeal to this as a respect thing where you've done before, and you said, look, this is important to me, and I really appreciate the sacrifice that you're making, but I need you to do this because it's important to me. That said, honey, I want you to be able to get as much out of it as you can, so let's do more to try to talk about Mass beforehand. Let's go over the readings together. And let's talk about, you know, what's what the readings say to us. What is God saying to us through the gospel, through the first and second readings, through the prayers of the Mass? You know, I just getting him to show up isn't enough, right? Helping him make a personal connection with God in the Mass and in your prayer life as a family. That's where you really want to go, because there's only so far you can push somebody just by saying, you know, look, it's important to me. I need you to do it. And he's been, you know, good for him. He's been doing it so far. But I'd like you to take it to the next level where you're actually talking about it at home and working to make it more meaningful and make that the conversation, not just how do I drag him to Holy Week, but, you know, honey, how can we make Mass a more enriching experience for you? What do we need to do in terms of our prayer life, in terms of our conversations, in terms of our relationship with God as a couple? I'm going to recommend our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse. Go through it together with him, because I think it's going to really open your eyes on the ways that you can really connect spiritually as husband and wife, even though he's not on the same page. With that, we've got to get out of here. Have a blessed weekend.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.